Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. It's 8 o'clock. It is Tuesday morning, the 17th day of January 2023. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin. Thank you for tuning in to KSJE Today, 90.9 FM, of course, here in San Juan County, New Mexico. In Durango, Colorado, you can always listen to us at 103.3 FM. And if you're anywhere else on the planet, just go to our website, of course, to tune in, ksje.com, or ask your smart speaker to play KSJE. We also want to welcome our viewers who are joining us this morning. The video is streaming out live to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. So we're glad that you are with us this morning, everybody, because coming up this morning, we're getting an update on some of the activities at the Aztec School District. So we hope you'll stay tuned for that conversation. It begins in the next few moments right here on KSJE this morning. Later on today, of course, it's Tuesday, so we'll be checking in with Amber Francisco from the Farmington Regional Animal Shelter. It's our Adopt a Pet Tuesday segment. You'll learn more about Sloan, the dog on the screen right there, and a few more of the animals available for adoption this week. So stay tuned for that coming up, 8:50 a.m. on the radio and online. And, of course, you can watch us or listen to us this morning later on this hour. Next hour, of course, Mick Hess will take us roving with the arts, our longstanding classical music program. And we also invite you to connect with us on our other social media platform on our Instagram page. And if you're a podcast person, you can subscribe to KSJE Podcasts wherever you listen to podcasts, places like iTunes and Spotify and iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Amazon Music. The list goes on and on and on. There is some weather impacts today we want to share with you, of course, because of some of the weather happening throughout the Four Corners region, of course. Just some kind of rain in the most of Farmington, but as you get further out, it becomes a bit icy, comes a bit snowy, and so there's a two-hour delay today in Farmington schools, San Juan College on a two-hour delay, Bloomfield Schools and Dulce School District all operating on a two-hour delay today. Aztec schools have called a virtual classes only day today, so Aztec schools are meeting online today. Closed for the day includes the Durango 9R School District. Fort Lewis College in Durango is closed today. The Cortez School District, Ignacio School District, Mancos School District, and the DZ School south of Bloomfield is also closed for the day today. We've got a complete list of closures, delays, and other impacts on our website, of course, ksje.com/school-closures, and you can find it right there. Our weather forecast outside our studios here at San Juan College, we have a winter weather advisory in effect until midnight tonight. So we're expecting a day of off and on rain showers and snow flurries. Current temperature, 36 degrees in Farmington at the moment. And again, we're expecting a day of clouds with a chance of rain and snow showers, a high 40 degrees today. Overnight tonight, more chances for rain and snow with a low of 29. Tomorrow, the winds will pick up with a high of 35 degrees on Wednesday. Clear skies Wednesday night with a low near 11, and then on Thursday, partly cloudy skies with a high of 33 degrees on Thursday with an overnight low of 20. Maybe another chance of snow showers coming in on Friday with a high of 36 degrees and a partly cloudy night Friday night, with a low of 19 degrees. Well, let me introduce my guest who is joining us this morning to talk a little bit about the Aztec School District. Dr. Warman Hall is here. He is the Director of Federal Programs for Aztec Schools. And Dr. Hall, good morning. We've got you on the phone this morning because our technology has kind of failed us this morning, but that's all right. The show must go on. So I appreciate your efforts, and good morning to you.
Good morning, Scott, and thank you. And sorry for the technical difficulties, but it's great to be with you and your listeners this morning.
Well, that's all right. We're glad to have you on the air, of course. And, of course, as we mentioned, Aztec schools are having a virtual learning day today. And so students and teachers are connecting virtually. And so you are able to be with us, and we appreciate that. And I know you want to talk a bit about some grant programs that you have been working on. And so let's talk about that. One of them deals with principals, I believe, right?
That's correct, Scott. Aztec Schools was able to put in an application with the Frost Foundation here in New Mexico. And in collaboration with the local REC, or the Regional Educational Cooperative, and other districts up here in this corner of the state, we received a grant. Aztec received a grant and is going to be working with the REC to manage it, in order to create what we're calling a Northwest New Mexico Principals Network. It'll be an effort to provide mentorship to new principals in the coming school year, and it'll also have room so that the district superintendent offices and supervisors can identify veteran principals who can serve as mentors in the next school year. And then there should be a part of the grant available that we can put on a one-day sort of conference or professional learning day for administrators up in our corner of the state. More than likely working with San Juan College to host that as an on-site face-to-face day of just, you know, workshops and professional learning for principals and administrators.
I got you. Understood. And is this an effort to try to kind of build up a little bit of the staffing, I guess, of the principals and things like that, to identify new principals because of some of the shortages we hear about in those ranks across the state?
Right. Yeah, speaking as a former principal myself, I can tell you that the job's demanding, and the turnover has been a concern nationally, statewide, locally, about at every level, about the turnover of principalship. And the outcome of that is there's a real need for people who have been able to be in the profession for a number of years and have marked success to be available to help folks who just have questions. Principals have places they can go to get professional learning through the state public ed department, their districts. Many districts have their own mentorship and learning opportunities for administrators, but the real heart of this program would be setting up that an informal or a person-to-person mentor that a principal can call when they have those questions that come up potentially on a daily basis if they just need somebody they can turn to with advice.
Understood. And Dr. Hall, you mentioned your time at Aztec High School, of course. I think, 15 years you were telling me before we came on the air this morning is the time you spent at the principal's office in a good way because you were the principal. And so not everyone lasts as long as you did, I guess.
Yeah, I was blessed in Aztec with my leadership that working with administrators currently with us and former administrators to be able to be in the office there at Aztec High for right at 15 years. I was a principal for most of that time. I did a year as the dean of students and the athletic director as well. But it's tough as things shift with districts. A lot of folks don't have the opportunity to lead at the same school for that length of time. And at the same time, we have people that are even more long in the tooth than I was in the principal's chair.
And with this grant, then, you're hoping, obviously, to support what principals you do have in the school district and also maybe identify future leaders for your schools. It's all kind of about growing your own, it sounds like to me.
Very much correct. Yeah, part of the process of the grant is we reached out to the superintendents up here in the Four Corners area. Basically, all those districts that are served by REC1 or the Four Corners REC that Mr. David Bowman leads. And David's really been instrumental in helping us put together those connections with the other districts and helping structure and manage the grant. But we're gonna really lean on the districts to recommend who they would put forward to be one of the mentor principals that we would then do some training with and then work again with the districts to connect them with, you know, maybe not it doesn't just have to be first-year principals. But there'll be principals that are newer in the profession that they'll work with through the next school year.
And with this REC, that is the, I believe the acronym is Rural Educational Cooperative or something to that effect. Am I correct?
That's right. Yes.
And that, so the idea there is having it manage this opportunity to involve other districts as well, not just Aztec, but maybe the other districts in the area to be able to, again, do the same things that you're talking about with Aztec schools in their respective districts?
Correct. Yeah. The RECs, if listeners aren't familiar with what that concept is, the state of New Mexico, I think it's decades ago, set up the structure where there are, and I'm gonna not say it correctly how many there are, but they geographically split up New Mexico, and these are entities that help districts within that geographic location in state purchase.
And then we've lost Dr. Hall as he was getting ready to tell us a little bit about this Rural Educational Cooperative, but he hopefully will be calling back in here in just a moment. But that is what happens when you're on the live radio program this morning. And so we'll give him a minute to dial back in and continue our conversation with Dr. Warman Hall, the Director of Federal Programs with the Aztec School District. And Dr. Hall, I think you're back with us this morning. Thank you for calling back in.
Yes, sorry about that, Scott.
That's all right. You were talking a little bit about the RECs around the state that have been set up and to try to help in the different geographical regions of our state.
Correct, yeah. And REC1 has been a great partner. So they work with, I think the majority of the list is, I know it's Aztec, Bloomfield, Farmington, Central Consolidated. I believe they may reach down into Gallup-McKinley County, possibly even Zuni schools, and I don't recall if the folks out at Dulce are a part of the REC or not, but geographically they cover the four corners and just support this kind of work on a number of fronts.
Very good. But certainly if Dulce schools aren't part of this REC, they're part of another REC. That's right. They cover the whole state. There's so many of them, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Got it. And so this grant, when do you expect this to kind of get up and running, if it's not already?
Well, we're just in the beginning stages of it. We received the award from the folks at the Frost Foundation, and we are working with the REC. David Bowman and I are working out processes for getting the goods purchased, a plan for connecting with the districts around the area, and step one is to identify those mentor principals that'll be able to get some training before we get out of this school year in order to be set up and ready to help those newer principals next year. And Scott, I might take the opportunity to plug and mention the Frost Foundation, just
because
they've been so generous. They've helped so many, like social services and programs around the state of New Mexico. They are a foundation. They're a private granting foundation, and I just want to just publicly thank them for accepting our proposal and funding this great work. And we're going to be looking forward to highlighting them as sort of our title sponsor for this when we hold the one-day professional conference for administrators up here in this area.
Wonderful. Well, they're certainly worthy of recognition for their assistance in this program and a lot of other things that they do around the state. So thank you for sharing that. There's another grant opportunity that we wanted to talk about too, Dr. Hall, and that's involving the Native American population and Native American culture, of course, as it relates to Aztec schools and the whole San Juan County region, I think.
Yes, sir. So many listeners may be aware that there's a corporation here in the San Juan County, Navajo Transitional Energy Corporation, that was set up, I believe, as they started closing down operations at the local coal mine. The short term for them is NTEC, and NTEC has been running a wonderful program for the last several years, called their Community Benefit Fund. NTEC has provided a lot of services, a lot of product for local school districts, I believe other entities. They've focused their giving, of course, largely on the end of assisting the Native American population, assisting education in our region. And we wrote a community benefit fund request with NTEC and Aztec to fund a cultural celebration. We're kind of calling it, for lack of another term, a powwow. Aztec's never had something like that in the venue of the school there in town. And so we're very excited with NTEC's support to create, and I'm, Scott, I'm going to butcher the name, a Navajo here, but the name that we've come up with is Olta Quintildi, which is roughly Aztec school. So we're calling it the Olta Quintildi cultural celebration that we're hoping to get off the ground and actually as an event sometime next fall or around September.
Gotcha. That's exciting. And as you mentioned, that hasn't been done really before in Aztec schools. And so this will help you to do this and kind of share the celebration with the larger community, I think, right?
That's right. They've done a few of these out west of our district. I believe Newcomb has a powwow or a cultural celebration most school years. And so that's really kind of where the idea had come from. And we'd had some connections in the community of folks who had managed powwows in the past that were able to give us great advice on how to structure that. And, of course, a huge thank you to NTEC for supporting that very important cultural work. And I think we're looking forward to highlighting a lot of traditional Navajo skills, about hosting some fun competitions. We hope to have it be the type of event that we'll have the vendors there for, and just really turn it into a wonderful community celebration that highlights the Native culture in our region.
Very, very good. And you're hoping, again, to do this maybe this in the fall of this year?
Yeah, that's kind of there's sort of a season for powwows nationally, and so we're trying to approximate that. And fall tends to be a really good choice time for that. And so we're looking around the month of September, but we're in the very early stages of planning it. We're putting together a planning committee that's actually going to start that work later this week to set up every facet of what that event will look like. So we'll certainly be in touch with San Juan College and KSJE about getting the word out once we get things formalized.
Very, very good. Well, that sounds like a great celebration coming up later on this year. My guest this morning from the Aztec School District, Dr. Warman Hall, is here. He is the Director of Federal Programs for the Aztec School District. And Dr. Hall, maybe take a few moments and explain to our audiences a little bit about what your job entails. I think it does keep you busy because there are a lot of federal programs when it comes to local school districts. But give us kind of an overview, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, absolutely. Just about every public school district is impacted by federal funding on some level or the other. And so they'll have positions such as mine. In larger districts, my position gets split into multiple ones. The public might be familiar with under the Public Schools Act, you'll have Title I that focuses on. Now, it's broader than this, but it's basically Title I reading grant that the federal government provides to states. You'll have a Title II grant that focuses largely on professional development, a Title III grant that focuses on English language learning, Title IV largely focuses on a range of things from student health and safety to a number of other topics, and then most of the other titles that districts interact with come through the Native American Education Program, the Office of Indian Ed on the federal level. And those are programs such as Johnson O'Malley, Impact Aid. Not every district gets all of those grant packages. Those are technically called sub-grants because the feds give the grant to the states, and then the states put it out there for districts to apply to if they want to get a portion of that. So it depends on the population, the demographic, sometimes the size and the socioeconomic status of the demographic in a district, whether they're able or eligible to participate in those. So Aztec specifically has for years participated in Title I, Title II, and Title IV. And this school year is actually the first year that our population of English language learners is big enough that we did get basically their very basic minimal award for Title III. So there's all that, as you can imagine, the you know, the fiscal management that I folks in my position work with the budget offices in their district to manage those funds. But then when you get those funding, now you've also got programs that are at the school sites and district wide that are impacted as well.
Right.
And, kind of in a nutshell.
Yeah. A big nutshell, but a nutshell nonetheless, but I understand. And I would imagine some of those state funds that you mentioned that are offered at the state level are somewhat competitive, right? That Aztec Schools is competing maybe for those funds with other districts in the state since there's not enough to go around to everybody?
Well, I'll tell you, for the most part, title funding isn't, I wouldn't call it competitive. It's competitive in the sense that you want to make sure that you apply for it, but the grant giving is very formulaic. So it does, the amount awarded to a given district does depend on how many districts have participated. And for some reasons, districts might be eligible for federal funding on one of those program levels, but they choose not to participate. Or they just don't meet the criteria to be eligible for it, but it is formulaic. You know, it's not like your application is competing against other districts. Now there are programs like that, but federal programs, and then there are even a few formulaic state programs like the Fine Arts and the Elementary Schools Act funding that are formulaic. That is, if districts apply, is pretty well set what it's going to look like.
I got it. Understood. But you just have to, again, as you mentioned, you have to make sure as a district that you apply for those programs that you may be eligible for. You don't want to leave money on the table, I suppose.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
Very, very good. Well, Dr. Hall, I appreciate your time this morning. I wanted to ask you about one other thing that you are also involved with. And that is a position, I think, that you are with some with other former principals and current principals that have been through traumatic experiences. And would you mind kind of visiting with me a little bit about that for a moment?
Yeah, thank you, Scott. That's definitely some advocacy work that I've been involved in ever since that horrible day back in December 7th of 2017. When Aztec High School had lost two precious young lives in a school shooting. I had folks at the National Association of Secondary School Principals reach out to me, and they were just beginning to form a group of other school leaders who had led through gun violence incidents on their campus. And they asked if I'd like to participate. And so in the intervening, I guess it's been 5 years now, I've been involved with that group of folks. It's sort of like we describe ourselves as the club that no one wants to be a part of, but we are dedicated to getting our voices put out there to advocate for school safety, to advocate for legislative action and funding that helps reduce these incidents of gun violence. Unfortunately, we have not seen them slow down nationally. The folks involved in the program range from the gentleman who was actually the principal at Columbine High School over 20 years ago to folks more recently from Marjorie Stoneman High School. And there are about 30 to 35 of us active in the group right now. And I'm going to be participating in a panel next month with a few other members of the Principal Recovery Network. And we're going to be highlighting what we're calling a guide to recovery. We just pulled our thoughts and wrote a reflective guide that we would put out to principals that were dealing with traumatic incidents and the aftermath that is very difficult. We're often found to be saying, members of the Principal Recovery Network, that, you know, after the incident is done for some while and the media coverage slows down, the principal, the district folks, the teachers and the kids, they're left there figuring out how to rebuild school. And so we just wanted to have a guide for recovery that gave principals some semblance of a direction they could look for assistance after those sort of incidents.
And I imagine a lot of these principals and other school leaders around the country are very grateful for the work that you and this group is doing to kind of put all this information together and kind of have it in one centralized location. Because as you mentioned, unfortunately, these horrible, horrible incidents are still happening around the country.
Yeah, we try not to take a very visible stand publicity-wise, but we are committed and actively work that when news hits about another shooting or incident of gun violence or other terrible act of violence on a school campus, we reach out to the school leader, identify ourselves. We figure out geographically which one of our members is closest and have them lead with the contact and just try to give that principal, that partner, that thought partner, that sympathetic ear, as they try to help their community and their school begin to rebuild things. And then on the larger national platform, we make sure to be involved in advocating, like I had mentioned earlier, for funding, legislation, and just awareness to try to reduce incidents of gun violence on school campuses.
Right. Right. And would you have any words of advice, I'm sure that you would, for administrators, principals, and others in districts where, these tragic things have not happened yet, but I would assume there's a lot of training, a lot of preparation that hopefully is happening at these districts. But what would your advice be to those folks?
Well, thank you, Scott. I think a lot of school leaders know this inherently, but I would highly encourage any school leader to very much be involved in the tabletop emergency exercises that their local FEMA affiliated emergency management structure would have. Our folks in San Juan County do a wonderful job of that. They sit down with school leaders and emergency management folks, the police, and just walk through mock scenarios, and they're just meant to help you evaluate the quality of policies, processes, structures, and it can be uncomfortable at first to participate in those, but it really helps a leader identify places that need attention in your policy and in your procedures for emergency incidents that might come around. And the other thing I think I would just encourage school leaders to always consider, and is I think particularly important in both acute incidences of violence, but also when schools face other tragedies, is to really pay attention to student voice. It's often the first thing that gets forgotten. You'll get some media outlets will put some poor kid up on the news, they'll pep them with questions. But when you talk about building student voice and training kids to really exercise their voice to talk about what they need, that's really where teachers, school leaders come into their, that's where they really shine. And the more we can do that, I think it helps kids process sort of the after recovery from any sort of, a tragic, terrible, or emergency event that might happen at their school.
Right. And it seems like we hear sometimes that maybe what helps these things from happening that gets maybe law enforcement or school resource officers or principals or teachers to know maybe before something tragic happens is some of that chatter from students and they're comfortable being able to talk to somebody, an adult or someone else at the school. That's got to be really important, isn't it?
Right. I think the more young people are provided the opportunity and coached in building their student voice, and that student voice is honored in the routine things that happened, beyond planning school dances and that sort of thing, the more they're likely to do exactly what you mentioned, Scott. And they'll turn that chatter that might be going on in social media leading up to a potentially tragic or scary situation, and they'll realize how to actualize that and how to turn it into action and contact the folks that need to be contacted to get support.
Very true. Well, Dr. Wormenhall, I'm afraid we're out of time this morning, but I really appreciate you spending some time with me to talk a little bit about your job with Aztec Schools and these other things that you're involved with and some of the exciting things that are coming for the Aztec School District. So thank you very much for joining me this morning.
great to be a part of this morning with you, and thank you again for inviting me.
You bet. It's great to have you on the program. Thank you so much. It's Dr. Warman Hall. He is the Director of Federal Programs for the Aztec School District, my guest this morning right here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.